So we give a whole lot to our campers in many, many different ways. And I'm sure there are some in the room who give physically to their campers and many who give emotionally to their campers as well. And perhaps one of the venues in which we provide for our campers is something that we might not think about often enough. But it's an opportunity for us in the second week of camp to try to shift our attention and think a little bit about this aspect, and that is something that we can very much contribute to the lives of our campers is the aspect of tefillah. The aspect of tefillah maybe gets lost in the shuffle of a lot of other things that are going on here, but I think tefillah is something that we can really do very seriously on behalf of all those who are in this camp. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, as we know, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, we assume that there are three pillars of the world, al ha-Torah ve'al ha-Avodah ve'al gemilas chasadim. There's no doubt that everyone who's here is certainly engaged in tremendous acts of gemilas chasadim. We're all here selflessly, nobody's getting paid, you all could have done many other things for these 2 weeks, but you chose to be here, so you're certainly involved in that. Are there no more chairs?
There are.
Terrible. Here, there are chairs right here, please. Sit down. Sit in my chair, sit here. It's all good. Someone should get the kisya covered here. Okay. So three things that are the components that hold up the world. Obviously, Gemilas Chasadim is something that we're all involved in here, but Avoda, which is the second pillar of the world, is something that we all need to focus on, and that is nowadays when we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, nowadays when we don't have Karbanos, we know that Tefillah has taken the place of Karbanos, and that is our Avoda, that is our way of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Lamed Beis that there are four parts of life that always need Chizuk. Four parts of life that we always need to remind ourselves about and think more carefully about these four aspects, because if we don't, they're just going to become routine parts of life that we really won't pay too much attention to. And one of those that the Gemara says is tefillah. Tefillah is something that we do so often that sometimes because we do it that often, it becomes so much of a routine of our lives, we don't think enough about it. And therefore, writes the Gemara, it's something that is tamid tzarech chizuk. It needs to be something that is always on our minds that we always need to remind ourselves of, because otherwise we're going to forget all about it. So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that tefillah is min hadvarim ha'omdim meruma shalolam. We assume that tefillah is something that is otherworldly, it's transcendental. However, says the Gemara, b'nei adam mezalzalim bo. Unfortunately, because we do it so often, we don't really pay close enough attention and we're not serious enough about the tefillah. We don't fully appreciate how much power there is in tefillah itself, and how much we can accomplish. So listen to a frightening passage in the Tana Devei Eliyahu. Tana Devei Eliyahu is a number of very important sayings that were told over by none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. So says the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Kishaba Sancheirav Vihikif Es Yerushalayim. When Sancheirav came, and he laid a siege around the city of Yerushalayim, Amar Chizkiyo b'tefillah. Chizkiyo, who was the king at the time, automatically knew that when he's under siege, he has to offer a tefillah. What else is he supposed to do? And he offers a tefillah, v'nira ka'adam ha'medaber im chavero. And Chizkiyo ha'melech seems to be like he's talking to a friend. And the same way he has casual conversations with his friend, he gets up and he offers a casual conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God himself. And nacha alav ruach elokim ha'yishaya ha'navi va'amar lo. A heavenly ruach came down onto Yeshaya HaNavi and told Yeshaya the following, Adam shemedaber lifnei mi shegadol mimenu, baser v'dam. Did anyone in the room ever get a traffic ticket? Yes. Did you fight it or did you pay it?
Pay it.
Pay it right away?
Yeah.
You fought it. Yeah. So you went to court to fight it or you sent someone else?
No, I just wrote them a letter.
Where do you live? Okay, maybe laws are different in Australia. In America, if we just write a letter, we don't get off. It doesn't work that way. I should qualify my question. Anyone in America ever got a traffic ticket and fought it? Okay, so I, one time, got a traffic ticket.
Like pulled over or like the camera?
So I'll tell you what happened. Actually, I was visiting someone in the hospital. It was very, very, very late at night. It was someone from my shul. And I was driving home, it was around probably 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was no one on the roads, and I was speeding. And I got pulled over. I was so scared. You know, when the cop turns on the lights, I was petrified. I don't know what I was petrified of. He wasn't going to arrest me. It's just a ticket. But I was scared. Anyway, I got pulled over. I got this ticket. I decided, let me try to fight it. Maybe the judge will be nice to me because I'm a rabbi. I was visiting someone in the hospital. Who knows what they'll say? So I decided to go fight it. So I went to court. And I'm standing there in front of a judge. And I was literally shaking. I was shaking. And I was saying to myself, why am I so scared? What happens if I lose? So I pay $250. I get 2 points on my license. It's not the biggest deal. Worse things have happened in life. But I was so scared. And that's what the Navi Yeshaya comes to tell Chizkiyahu. You know, we have people that we're in awe of in our lives. And when we encounter, when we engage those people, we're scared. We're in awe. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, you talk to the Ribono Shel Olam as if you're in a casual conversation. And yet, if you were encountering somebody who you were in awe of, you would be shaking. Even though there's nothing to be afraid of, they're not going to kill you. And yet, the Navi Yeshaya comes to Chizkiyahu HaMelech and he says, if you would meet Misha Gadol Mimenu Basar Vadam, if you would encounter someone who is much greater than you in the social status of life, you would be Martia Kol Gufo, you would be frightened, you would be shaking. Mizdazen Eivarv Hamadabar Lefnei Melech Malchi Amlechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alachas Kama Vakama. You think you have a right to talk casually with God Himself? This is not a way to approach the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's exactly what the Gemara means. The Gemara says that Tefillah is min hadvarim ha'omdim merumah shel olam. It is so important. You're having an opportunity to engage in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. And yet we, B'nai Adam, unfortunately, because this becomes a routine part of our lives, we're not serious enough about it. We don't take it with the amount of seriousness that really it deserves, with the amount of contemplation, the amount of thought that we need to put into a tefillah. So there's an amazing story told about the Divrei Chayim, the sons of Rav. Any sons of Hasidim in here? No? I guess the Hasidic division didn't make it tonight. So the sons of Rav. Yes? You're a sons of Chassid? Okay. Wow. So this is complicated. Well, welcome. You're a good representative. So, the sons of Rav. You heard about him? Okay, so the Divrei Chaim, the first sons of Rav, it says that before he used to come out into the Beis Medrash to daven, the sons of Rav used to spend time in his private room davening a tefillah before the tefillah. So what is that? What kind of tefillah did he offer before the regular tefillah started? And the sons of Rav told his chassidim what he used to daven for is the following. One cryptic line. He would say, Yehi Ratzon, may it be your will, she'ezke lechavein bitfilasi, that I should be able to have the requisite kavana when I daven, ulaharich es kocho hagadol, and I should be able to appreciate the extraordinary power that tefillah actually has. That's what the Divrei Chaim used to offer as a tefillah before the real davening started, because he said, without putting ourselves in that mindset, without thinking carefully before the tefillah begins, we will never really be able to have all of the appreciation that tefillah deserves and all of the potency and effectiveness that tefillah can really have for whatever it is that we are possibly davening for. So we have Rashi and Chumash writes in three different places that we have a phrase that is recurrent in all three of these places, and that is Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh. Anybody know in Chumash where we have the phrase Be'etzam Hayom Hazeh? Yes, Mitzrayim is one. What else? What? Akedas Yitzchak, okay. Does it say it there? I don't think it says it by Akedas Yitzchak. Rashi on Chumash writes there are three places. It's not true, there are four places. But Rashi focuses on three. The three places are, number one, by Noach, by the Mabel. So you were close. By the Mabel it says that the Mabel began Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh means in broad daylight. That's when the Mabel began. Second place we find it is very correctly stated by Kriyas Yamsuf. When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, broad daylight. And number three, when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, in the very end of Chumash, in Sefer Devarim, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, right in the middle of the day. What is the significance of saying Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh? So Rashi writes that it means the same thing in all three places. What does it mean? In the days of Noach, imagine if you were living at that time, and you have this crazy person in your generation who is completely convinced that the world is going to be destroyed. And he's running around for how many years telling everyone this? 120 years, convincing the world that they're all going to be killed. And everyone thinks he's out of his mind. You ever met a real Meshuggah in your life?
Yeah.
This would be the classic example. A guy who runs around telling everybody in the world that you're all going to die, you're all going to be killed, the world is going to be destroyed. He's out of his mind. He's crazy. So nobody takes him seriously. And here he is, giving over this message, building a teva, 120 years, gathering the animals, gathering his family, getting food together, doing whatever needs to be done. That's Noach. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what I'm going to do? Nobody believes you. But then the water's going to start raining. And then what's going to happen? You're going to start walking into your teva. What's going to happen then? All these people are finally going to realize that this is real. That the world is about to really be destroyed. Something they never expected, but it's happening in front of their own eyes. So you know what they'll do? They'll stand there and barricade off the teva. They won't allow anybody from Noach's family to go in. Assuming that if they do that, there's no way that the mabul will continue. So that was their idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring a mabul be'etzem hayom hazeh, in broad daylight. I'm going to bring a mabul when they're all watching. And against all odds, I'm going to bring Noach and his family into the teva. No one's going to be able to stop them. It doesn't matter how much they try. I'm going to suspend their ability to stop Noach from going into the teva. Even though if you would have millions of people in the world standing in front of the entrance to the teva, he wouldn't get in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Be'etzem hayom hazeh. I'm going to do it in broad daylight when they're all watching and no one's going to be able to stop him. Be'etzem hayom hazeh by Kriyas Yamsuf means the same thing. Even though the Mitzrim see that the Jews are running away, they could have all lined up at the border, not let them leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take them out Be'etzem hayom hazeh, in broad daylight. Not going to sneak them out in the middle of the night. It's going to happen in broad daylight. No one's going to be able to stop it as much as they would try. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. Sir Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks, what does it mean in the third place? The third place, as we said, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's life was taken Be'etzem hayom hazeh. What does it mean there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the life of Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of the day, in broad daylight, in front of everyone's eyes. What could we have done to stop Moshe Rabbeinu's death? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to do it in broad daylight to show the Jewish people that I'm going to do it whether you like it or not? What did he mean? Writes Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what he meant was, there was one thing that we would have otherwise been able to do to save the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what that is? Tefillah. Had Klal Yisrael gotten together and actually offered a collective tefillah on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu that he should be spared, that he should be kept alive, he would have lived. He would have lived. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because on this occasion I need that Moshe Rabbeinu's life should be over, I'm going to suspend the ability of the Jewish people to daven. I'm going to take away their ability. And writes Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what you learn from that story is that in normal circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not suspend our ability. And we are able to save someone al yidei tefillah. Through the venue of tefillah, we would potentially be able to save someone even from the time that they were destined to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that ability. That's what tefillah is. And that's something that we need to take very seriously when we watch sometimes very critical patients, very critical campers that we take care of, and we think to ourselves, what is it that we can do for them? And life is so difficult, and life is so painful, and life is so hard for them. The answer is yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Sometimes you can engage in the act of tefillah, and that will be enough to be able to save your person who you are davening for. So there's an amazing mashal that's told by the Balei Musar. And they say the mashal about a prince who has some sort of issue with his family, and he's sent away from the palace. And he goes off on his own, and he's living out in the forest, and his hair is growing long, and he's unkempt, and he doesn't clean himself, and his clothing is all tattered. Nobody recognizes him anymore. And after wandering a few years in the forest, he realizes maybe it's time for him to reunite with his family, it's time for him to come home. And he shows up at the palace, and nobody around the palace recognizes him. They would never let this disheveled young man come into the palace. He has ripped clothing. He stinks. He hasn't had a shower in ages. Hasn't cut his hair, his nails. Looks like a homeless person. Why would they let him in? What does he have to do? And he starts pleading with them. You don't understand. I am the Ben HaMelech. I am the prince. This is where I belong. This is where I grew up. Now it's time for me to come home. And everybody laughs at him. There's no way you can be the prince. There's no way you can be the son of the melech. Children of kings don't look this way. It's impossible. None of us remember you. And he tries to figure out, how am I going to get the attention of my father? How will I ever be able to convince anybody that this is really me? And he decides to go near a window, somewhere in the back of the campus. And he starts to sing. Because although every other aspect of his life may look different, and his physical appearance is not at all similar to the way it may have been before he left, a person's voice doesn't change. And his voice remained the same. And that, say the Bali Musar, is what we mean in the end of Shmona Esrei every day when we say, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. What are we asking for? We don't just ask that our Kodesh Baruch Hu should listen to our tefillah. We don't just ask that he should accept everything that we daven for and he should answer in the positive. But rather we ask for something so much more than that. We recognize the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam created all of us, and he had expectations for us, and he had ways in which he expected us to behave, and he wanted us to live life, and unfortunately we don't always live up to those expectations. And we don't always live life the way we're supposed to, and we make plenty of mistakes. And that's just the human condition, that's human nature, that's the way it goes. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we come to your home, when we come to your palace, and we look nothing like we did before we left, and our physical appearance is so much different than you had envisioned it to look, and we no longer look like B'nai HaMelech, maybe we're not acting in accordance with your plan, we're not acting in the way that you wanted us to, and we don't look physically the way we should, but we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Koleinu. Listen to our voices, because our voices have never changed. It's the same person that you have created. It's the person that you loved. It's the person that you care for. It's the person that you brought into this world to accomplish all kinds of things. That's the one who is talking to you. That's the one who is asking for your attention. And this is what we end off Shmona Esrei every day, the middle set of brachas. We say, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. So writes the Chafetz Chaim in the Shmiras HaLashon. He says, sometimes we daven Shmona Esrei and it's very difficult for us to pay attention for an entire Shmona Esrei. It's long, and we have PA systems going, and we have all kinds of announcements going on around us, and we have Amir Tzashem, you'll have children tugging at you, and it's not so easy. And sometimes, you really don't have the ability to pay attention to the entire Shmona Esrei. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, what should you do? What should a person do when they catch themselves halfway through and they realize, wow, how am I up to here? Did that ever happen to you? Get up to a certain bracha in Shmona Esrei and you ask yourself, how did I get here? I'm up to Tekka B'Shofar already? I don't even know what I'm asking for. I don't know where I'm up to. I don't really know what the words mean. Or sometimes you get up to Sim Shalom and you're like, how did this happen? So what should a person do? Again, that's natural. Unfortunately, it's natural. We get distracted. This is what happens. So the Chafetz Chaim has an amazing interpretation where he explains. He says there was once a young woman who went out to the fair, to the market, and her family was a very simple family. And all they were able to sell there was fruits. So they send her with a big basket, a big bucket of fruit. And she's sitting there trying to sell each fruit for a few pennies. Nobody's really paying attention to her. She doesn't really have a loud voice. She can't scream out loud. Everybody's selling much more important items than just little fruits. And along comes a robber. And he realizes this is a perfect young lady to take advantage of. Because nobody's here to help her. Nobody really cares. And if I steal the fruit, it's not like I'm stealing gold and silver that everybody will notice right away. I'm stealing fruit. So it's easy. So what does he do? He comes with a bucket. And he just starts emptying out hers and putting it into his. And he starts filling it up. And she's just watching him. She doesn't know what to do. So writes the Chafetz Chaim. Somebody finally yells at her and says, pick up the rest of your bucket and just run away. If you're not able to stick up for yourself, if you're not able to protect that which was already taken, at least take that which is still left in your basket and run. You don't have to stay here. Don't allow him to take advantage of you. And that, says the Chafetz Chaim, is what we need to remind ourselves of sometimes when we're in that position in tefillah. Sometimes when we have the opportunity to daven and we get totally lost in the davening, we don't remember where we're up to, where we started, where we ended, and we wake up and we're all of a sudden, we find ourselves in Shema Koleinu. We find ourselves in the middle of Sim Shalom. Writes the Chafetz Chaim. If somebody came along and stole all of those brachos from us, if somebody came along and distracted us until that point, why should we be so foolish as to lose out on the rest? Take advantage of whatever you have left. Don't allow yourself to be robbed of those last couple of opportunities to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam. All of them are meaningful. All of them are worthwhile. And you can make the most of whatever it is that you have the opportunity to pay attention to, says the Chafetz Chaim. Learn from that young woman and understand that you always have the ability to take advantage of some part of Shmona Esrei, as long as you just pay attention to what it is that you are saying. Let me just say 5 more minutes. I want everyone to be there on time and enjoy whatever they have to do tonight. So let me just give you 5 more minutes on this. Mrs. Kalpin asked me to speak on Tuesday as well. Just by a show of hands, should we talk halacha or hashkafa? What do people prefer? No. That's what I thought. Okay. She thought girls would be interested in halacha. If you are, you can let me know. You are. Yeah. What kind of halacha?
Any.
So we can talk some other time in the day. That's fine. Okay. So the challenge sometimes is that we see things happening around us and we wonder, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this? This is something I feel every single day here in Camp Simcha. You know, a lot of people suffer in the world in many different ways. And as you get older, you'll see families just become very complicated, marriages become complicated, children, parents, relationships. You see all kinds of things going on and so many people suffering and so much difficulty. But there's something unique about when you see children who suffer. There's something very unusual about it. And to me, it's very troubling. To me, I think about it every day. And I cry every day when all of you dance in the dining room after lunch. I just cry. Look what you're doing for these kids. Look how difficult their lives are. Look how much pain they're in. I guess that's supposed to end. So, look how much pain they're in. And look how much simcha you bring to their lives. Look how much happiness. They're able to forget about their illnesses for 2 weeks. It's amazing. But you can't escape the reality that they are suffering. And life really is difficult. And I don't know about you, but I have tremendous questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have tremendous questions on Him. How is it possible that young children can suffer like this? Now you'll ask, is it fair to have questions on the Ribono Shel Olam? Does that make me a person who lacks an emunah? So let me ask you, who was the greatest believer in God in all the pages of Chumash? Who would you say? Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, he's asked to even perform the Akedah. He's even willing to go that far because he loves the Ribono Shel Olam that much. And yet the Medrash writes an amazing statement. The Medrash says that Avraham Avinu comes home from the Akedah. After he comes home, he finds Sarah Imenu has died. Now he has to worry about burying her. And he almost just killed his own son. Very overwhelming time that he went through. And the Medrash writes that the next morning he wakes up and Hischil Avram Avinu Tameya. Writes the Medrash, Avram Avinu wakes up the next morning and he just cannot understand what's going on. And he starts asking, he starts challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, you promised me I would have a child, Yitzchak. Then I wake up the next morning and you tell me I should kill my son. Then you change your mind and you say, no, take him off the Mizbech. Put him on the Mizbech. Put something else in the... What do you want from me? Avraham Avinu has a question. Does that make Avraham Avinu a person who does not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. He's a firm believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he has questions. Because he believes that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is letav avid, everything is for the positive. That's why Avraham Avinu says, I don't understand this. How can this be positive? And because of his question, it doesn't mean that he stops believing. It means that he has a question. So we had someone in our shul who told me this past year. She was very embarrassed to tell me this story, but I don't think she should be. It's an amazing story. She had a grandfather who was a Holocaust survivor. He passed away this year. And she told me that at least once a month he would mention to one of the family members that he can't wait until he dies because he has such difficult questions that he needs to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he can't wait for the opportunity. For all that he went through in the war, all that he saw in the Holocaust, all the people that he saw suffering there, and all those lives that were lost, he said he can't wait to pin HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him all of these questions. And she was embarrassed to tell me the story, and I asked her, did your grandfather ever put on tefillin after the war? She said, of course, every day. So I asked her, did your grandfather ever keep Shabbos after the war? Of course he kept Shabbos. He kept every Shabbos of his life. Did your grandfather do all the other mitzvahs? Yeah, he was a regular Shomer Shabbos. A regular Shomer Kashrus. He did everything like a regular observant Jew should do. So I said, don't you understand the beauty? That's the beauty of a person who believes. You can live 75, 80 years of your life with tremendous questions. With questions that you can't wait to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that doesn't stop you from believing in Him. You have questions. We all have questions. But it doesn't get in our way of offering a tefillah, of keeping Shabbos, of doing everything that we're supposed to do. It doesn't take away from what it means to be a believer, to be a ma'amin b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, he says there was a person who comes to a town for the first time in his life. He's never been in this community. And he walks in, he sits in the back of shul, and he's watching on Shabbos morning as the gabbai is walking around. The gabbai walks around and he gives the first aliyah to the person in the first row, then he gives the next aliyah to someone sitting three rows back, two seats over, and every aliyah he's running around the whole shul. So this guest goes over to him afterward. He says, you know, I can't hold myself back. I'm just wondering. I don't understand this. Wouldn't it be easier if one Shabbos he gave the first seven people in a row who were sitting in the front the first seven aliyahs? Then the next Shabbos he went to the second row and gave the next seven people. Wouldn't that make more sense? Wouldn't the system be easier that way? Wouldn't have to keep track of who you went this week and who got the other week? So the gabbai turns to me, he says, how long have you been here? He says, my first time here, I just showed up. First Shabbos in town. He says, do you know how many calculations I have swimming around in my head? This guy has yahrzeit this week, and that one made a sheva brachas, and he's making a bar mitzvah, and everybody has a whole reason why they need this week. He says, you stick around here for long enough, you'll understand why it is that we jump around all the rows and every week somebody else gets, because there are so many calculations that go into everything. You can't understand this, you just showed up yesterday. You don't understand the makeup of this community, you don't understand how complicated it is to get this all under control. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, sometimes we have questions. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world and we ask ourselves, how can it be the Ribbono Shel Olam can make this person suffer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make that happen, and we have tragedies happening all around us? And we ask ourselves, is this really fair? Does it make sense? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us in and he says, you know, you have a good question. How many years have you been here? Because I've been around for a few thousand years. And there are all kinds of calculations. You stick around long enough, you'll understand it. But you're too new to this community to really understand what it's all about. Why it is that I jump around? This week it's this one, the next month it's the other one. Why is it that some families suffer and others seem not to? These are all very valid questions. But we're just not here long enough to appreciate and understand the full context of the way the world runs. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way His world runs. He understands it. All of the complex calculations, all of the different understandings that go into everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to run our beautiful world. So yes, are we surrounded by children who suffer? Yes, we are. Does it pain us why children have to suffer? I hope it pains all of us, and it should. Do we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He bring a refuah to our campers and to all those who suffer in the world? We must. It's one of the services we can provide to our campers. Not only to be there physically for them, not only emotionally, but to be there spiritually for them. And to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanis on them, to have mercy on these children. But at the same time, if there are questions that bother you, you should be confident in two different points. One is, be confident in the fact that it should not be a sign of your shaken emunah. A person who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowed to have questions. If you believe, it doesn't mean that there aren't things that are going to bother you. There are many things that could bother you. As long as you resign to the fact that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge of our world. We observe all the mitzvahs that He asks us to observe. We do all the things that He wants us to do in our lives. And sometimes we live life with questions. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, why is it fair to have questions? It's fair to have questions because we're simply not here long enough to fully understand the context of the way the world runs. Like that person who just moves into the neighborhood, can't fully possibly understand why it is that things are given out the way they are, why it is that the town runs the way it does. It takes years to understand the politics of a community and how things work and how things come about. That's the beauty of life. That's the beauty of life. So yes, we daven for all those who need a Yeshua. We ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have mercy on all those who need His Rachmanus. But ultimately, we resign to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs our world. He makes the decisions. He does not have to consult with us to what we believe is fair and what perhaps we do not. We understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate meitiv. He is the ultimate doer of good. He provides us with everything that we have in our lives, and we should take this opportunity to just appreciate all of the good that we have in our lives. Like so many of the campers have spoken, you listen to any of them speak on Shabbos, you understand how grateful we need to be, because they are lacking so much, and so many of us are blessed with so much. And we have such an opportunity here to really sincerely ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, that He give a refuah, that He grant Rachmanas to all of those who are here that need it, but also to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu so sincerely in our tefillah for all that He has provided us with, for all that He continues to give us. He provides with us every day, every moment, every second of life. Al kol neshima neshima, for every breath that we are so blessed to take. It's something to take advantage of. It's something to think about. And this is a very perfect opportunity while you're here to start considering all the great gifts and the great blessings and all of the wonderful showering of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to all of us and infused into our lives. I hope you all...